Herzlich willkommen bei Verstehe Ayurveda, Verstehe Dich mit mir, Ursula Feuerherd. In dieser Episode begrüße ich Darinka Meyer. Sie ist vedische Astrologin mit Sitz in Sydney. Wir sprechen im Interview über Intuition und wie wir unseren Blick schulen können für das, was ist. Vielleicht kennst du das auch von dir selbst. Ich finde es manchmal nicht so einfach zu unterscheiden, was wirklich intuitive Weisheit ist und was ich mir selbst als solche verkaufe, weil ich etwas unbedingt machen will. Die vedische Astrologie begleitet mich schon lange und ich war kürzlich erst selbst zur Beratung bei Darinka. Dabei geht es nicht um Schicksal oder Zukunftsvorhersage. Jyotish, die vedische Astrologie, die lässt uns, genau wie Ayurveda, besser verstehen, wer wir sind und was wir in dieses Leben mitbringen. Und das schult auch unsere eigene Intuition und wir werden immer besser im Erkennen von dem, was ist, und dem Erfassen der subtilen Einflüsse, die auf uns wirken. Dieses Interview ist auf Englisch und für alle, die hier lieber in ihrer Muttersprache zuhören, die nächsten Folgen bis zum Herbst sind dann wieder durchgängig Deutsch. Anyways, dieses Interview hat wirklich Tiefgang und ich hoffe, du bist davon ebenso inspiriert wie ich. Ich wünsche dir viel Freude beim Hören. Welcome, Darinka, to my podcast.
Thank you, Ursula. It's a pleasure to be here.
We're going to talk about Jyotish today, the Vedic astrology, which is interlinked to Ayurveda. It's really a sister science, and for me it's one of the most fascinating because it's very subtle. It's not so obvious like you do Ayurveda. You work with the body. And with Jyotish, it's really something that's more in the depth of things. It's also something not so broadly well known. And yeah, I'm happy to have this conversation with you today.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here and to share, at least from my perspective on Jyotisha. And so to many listeners, this might be a new term, but it is good to know, because it is, as you say, a sister science to Ayurveda, the science of life, of understanding the body and the medical side to, living in harmony and in balance with the environment and yourself. But, and yoga, of course, which helps us as well, the body and the mind and the spirit. But Jyotisha, for those that are hearing it for the first time, is a Sanskrit word, and it is made of two words, Jyoti, which is light, and Ish, which is like a suffix, which is kind of related to God or Ishvara, one of the many names of the Supreme Intelligence. And it's essentially the science or the study of light. Because Ayurveda is, Ayus is life, and Veda is knowledge. Jyotisha is of light, and it is about the inner light that is about, we are awakening that. So it's the simplest description.
Maybe to round this off, why was it invented in the first place, included in these Vedic sciences?
From my understanding, astrology or Jyotisha, and the Vedas, it's a divine science. It was something that was heard, something that was orally transmitted, but also transmitted through a higher state of consciousness. And it's also said that the rishis, or the wise men back in eons ago, that they were actually the incarnations of the forefathers, or the progenitors to humankind. And so there is this notion that it's a divine science. There's another story that apparently Parvati, Shiva's consort, could see that humanity was suffering, and she was so sad that humans were creating all of this karmic knots and entanglements. And she said, if only there was a way for them to see, because they were so high, they could see. And Shiva said, well, there is this science called Jyotisha. And she said, oh, please tell me this secret. And so the husband never denies the wife. So he told her, and their son Ganesha happened to be walking past with his big ears. He heard, and so he listened, and with his big brain, he memorized all of that. And I have to double check, but I think it was maybe Veda Vyasa. It was then one of the rishis that he told that. So that's also why there's a connection of Ganesha with Jyotisha, and we always, you know, before we do a class or something, we do invocation to Ganesh.
Yeah. For those who don't know, the deity, which looks a bit like an elephant, a bit,
yes,
quite obvious, yes, actually.
Yes.
Yeah. So also from my personal experience, Jyotisha is something that is so profound and deep and can explain the human existence, or how we interact, how we think as humans, on such deep levels and so many layers. And it's spot on. So if you got the right data, then it's spot on, and it's really fascinating. And I wonder, how did you become a Jyotishi?
Well, you know, it was when did I start? You know, astrology, I think it's something that, like any of the occult sciences, it's something that finds you, really. And, you know, I had a lot of complicated upbringing. So, you know, there was a lot of, I guess, a lot of questions, a lot of things to figure out. And astrology, I sort of was like, you know, star signs was always very interesting, you know, because it's a validating something that helps you to understand. There was Western astrology that I was looking at. And but because of my affiliation with India, since I was little, and my dad took me to Sri Lanka as well as a child. My mother loved India. She actually passed away there when I was very young. And so there was always this kind of link. And because I went to Sri Lanka as a kid, I just had a natural respect. And I felt that the esoteric knowledge that came, like Buddhist knowledge, other kind of spiritual knowledge that I read, was something that resonated very deeply. So when I was 18, 19, and I was just exploring yoga, and I was reading about the Yoga Sutras, and, you know, they're so profound. And then I was interested in astrology anyway. And then I realized there's this entire Indian system of astrology, which was completely different to my Western stuff, but with just so much more depth. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow. And then it was like, I was doing a lot of like watching YouTube videos and like just the little bits of information. But when you actually sit with your chart, it just looks like a complete maze. So then I was like, in 2015, so it was around 28, 29, around my Saturn return, I decided that I needed to learn properly, and I ended up just researching online, and I found Camilla Sutton, and I booked a reading with her, and I just felt a really nice connection. And she said, well, I am teaching this course. So I joined the next year, and it's been 10 years.
Wow. Yeah. Yes. And it's a close relationship to the teacher, isn't it? Because it's a knowledge that, I mean, Ayurveda is taught on a very broad level, and Jyotisha is also, as you said, it has to find you. As a student, it really has to be a fit, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. You know, Camilla is a very generous teacher, and you know, I think anyone could be a teacher in any way. Like, there's to you, specific to you. You're not going to resonate, and you're not going to be for everyone. Mm-hmm. And so I think that I'm obsessed with it, in a sense. Like, I feel like any time I've been in a dark or difficult place, it's always the light of spiritual knowledge, particularly the Vedas, the Gita, Jyotisha, Ayurvedic knowledge of the body. It's always this is like the highest knowledge, and it's what pulls me out of the heaviness, you know? So that's why the way that I've learned, it's really helped me to manage my own stuff and pain and whatever, and to move through that and to see it from, you know, because that's what light does, you know. When you increase the awareness, it's like you're going higher up a mountain, you can see more, so you're not drawn into the chaos. And I'm more intellectual, I'm more cerebral in my mind, so I need to have the knowledge of things. Some people, they're more in the bhakti, they just completely lose themselves in devotion. Other people in other ways. Sometimes it's good to have a mix of all of it. But for me, the knowledge has been very profound to unravel the knots in the mind. So, you know, I think it's so healing like that.
Yeah. Before we talk about how Jyotish can help to gain insights into our own path, and also the lens of how can it help also in our career path or to find our purpose, I want to ask also about your connection to your teacher, because this with the ancient wisdoms, it's also, and you also, I can hear this gratitude also to have this in one's life, and you said it's the highest wisdom. How is the connection to your teacher? What is important there for you when you pass this on and you work with the knowledge?
Well, with Camilla, you know, I think it's doing her courses online. Like, that was mostly how it was. And so I think one thing that I learned is the consistency of showing up to the classes. There was some time, I've always been a bit of a backpacker, and there was early in 2016, I was on this size trying to do a horse caravan in Hungary. But I was so committed to learning, I didn't want to miss a class, but I was camping in this forest. But I would walk to this town so I could jump on the Wi-Fi. And to me, it was a no-brainer. Like, I was like, of course. Mm-hmm. But she pointed that out, and I didn't think about it, because I'm like, well, this is like the most important thing in my life. Like, you know, I'm going to do that. So I feel like, and she gifted me two scholarships. So for two of her courses, she gifted me after I completed the 3 years. She also holds a conference for her students to lecture and to speak in. She actually invited me for the one for next year, the coming in January. But I have a lot of writing projects, so I said I'm going to pass this on this occasion, because it's a lot of work for me. But I did lecture one time in San Francisco, and then I was just there at the one in Kerala. This was about nine years ago, and so since then I've spoken several times on her conferences that she organizes. So they're international, so she has different speakers come, and then of course a space for her students. And so that's really, you know, helped to nourish and to give me the confidence to speak and to be on Sush, because I would never, Sush, very shy, but she's been very encouraging of that. And, you know, with astrology, you know, you can see directly into the core of your issue. And this is where it's so psychotherapeutic, because, you know, like, I always have some self-doubt. It's always a bit of a thing, you know, and it's something I'm always working through, and I get better as I got older. But, you know, we can see that in the chart, and then you can work with it in a much better way, because you've got the light on it, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I think this is also how, Camilla, I've grown so much through just having her in my life, going and doing the regular courses. And then, of course, I'll add is the temple trips that she runs. And, you know, I've done quite a number of these now, and so very comfortable. The buses and everything is organized, like, super good and very comfortable. But we also get to have really beautiful experiences and visit temples, and that are completely off the track. They're not tourist places. Mm-hmm. So that's been the journey. And I visited her home in Chandigarh just this year after the last, just we did the last Saturn trip.
Yeah.
And we just had some time. So it was really lovely. You know? Mm-hmm. So
beautiful.
Yeah.
So let's dive into the topic itself. So how would you explain why or how could Jyotisha help us in life and in career matters?
Life and career matters. You see, the main premise of Vedanta or Vedic knowledge is, specifically with astrology, is understanding our karma. Because life is karma. And karma is not punishment. People think karma means, you're going to get your karma. Actually, it just means action. Your life is karma, whether you take action or not action. Not action, actually, you know, in the Gita, you know, Krishna has that conversation with Arjuna. You know, you can act or not act, but it's still going to have a consequence. Mm-hmm. And so the purpose of our chart, you know, is a map of our karmas. And, you know, Camilla said something really beautiful, and I pinned it in my video on my Instagram. She said, people think that astrology is about predicting the future, mm-hmm. but it's actually about understanding the present. Because when you take care of the present, then the future takes care of itself.
Then I suppose we have to deal with the past we have created to become our present now. I mean, our present yes. reflects the past, isn't it?
Yes. Our present reflects the past, but, you know, I think recently, like there was something I saw for like quantum mechanics that even the actions now also affect and change our past. And this could be, you know, maybe when we think about ancestral stuff, you know, so we're unwinding our karmas through our actions, mm-hmm. through our daily life, which is a ritual. Mm-hmm. Hence the discipline and consistency is very hard. And I find it hard. Everyone finds it hard when we are doing a japa. That's also unwinding when we are doing donations, when we are chanting mantras, when we are cleaning toilets, mm-hmm. when we are doing these things with awareness. You know, when we are acting consciously, we are creating new karma. But when we are reacting unconsciously, then we are acting on our old karma and recreating those patterns. Mm. And Camilla also says, you know, that how many countless lifetimes has it happened that we've created the karma that we have today? So we can't expect that we're going to do a few mantras, do some donations at the temple, and then, like, you know, live a good life for 10 years and hope that we've burnt off our karma. It doesn't work like that. But astrology helps us to become aware of our present so we can understand the nature of the patterns and what we are doing, you know, so that we can have greater awareness with how we're behaving mm. and to take responsibility for ourselves. Because even if we have, and this might sound harsh, but from the Vedic perspective, if we have a terrible spouse, it's because we have a karmic debt with that person. If there's a story of abuse, the abuse doesn't come from nowhere. Okay. It comes from somewhere. Mm. So it's not about punishment, but we have to understand what are our debts, you know? Mm. And even if the situation is not our fault now, it's our responsibility to deal with this in the right way.
Yeah.
So this is how astrology can help us to have the bring the light into these sometimes very difficult situations mm-hmm. and to make better choices that are more aligned with our soul, with Dharma, and with the direction that we want to go.
Mm. That's also something I want to have a deeper look at, this to be aligned with one's path and to be aware of the energy that in a loving way wants to bring us to a certain direction, but we're so Our mind is so occupied with all the ideas and wants and needs so that we don't even see the path that would be there for us. So
yes.
How can Jyotisha help in that matter? And maybe you want to also talk about the purpose in life.
They're great questions, actually. You know, the mind wants one thing, but the soul has another trajectory. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the mind, the heart, deeply desires a relationship, a baby. The mind is completely obsessed and fixed with a certain idea. But they keep trying. You know this. No matter if something is not meant to happen, no matter what you do, it won't happen. You know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes, no matter how much you avoid something, it still happens.
Yeah.
This is because the soul has its agenda. And if the mind and the body and the soul are in alignment, which you see in the chart, you can see that, you know, there's a certain harmony, life is going to flow more easily. Yeah. Why did that harmony manifest? Because it's part of the good karmas, you know. Mm. If there is a lot of challenges in the geometry of the chart, then there is a lot of karma to burn through. Maybe things don't go the way that you want. So you have to learn to understand that. And so, you know, sometimes it is challenging. But it's all about, again, what Camilla says, it's all about how you choose to deal with it. So, you know, I always like to say, if, just because you get a cactus doesn't mean you have to sit on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the other point you mentioned?
The purpose in life. So
the purpose.
What's meant yes. for us? How to tap into it?
Mm-mm. Well, you know, for that, we look at like the houses, you look at the ninth house, you look at the planet with the highest degree. You look at some points, you know, you look at, of course, where the sun is, but you have to look at the whole horoscope. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because there's different ways that can unfold, that can manifest. I actually really love to look at the numbers, the just like the day number that you're born, that can tell a lot.
Uh-huh.
So, what's your day of birth, Ursula?
The 1st of May.
The 1st?
Mm-hmm.
So this comes under the vibration of the sun. So this shows somebody that has strong leadership qualities. So in your chart, the sun energy could be strong. Maybe it's in Leo or in Aries or it's in the 10th house or something like that. Mm-hmm. So the sun energy, the leadership quality is there very strong. It also means that you may not like receiving orders or instructions from other people, you know.
Yes.
I have a lot of one friends and they tell me, Durinka, stop giving me advice. I didn't ask for it. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I don't always know. I'm a 3 because I'm born on the 12th. So I have 1 and 2. But I have sun and moon, which is sun and 1 and 2 is sun and moon, and I have it in opposition.
Wow.
But it makes 3, which is Jupiter, which is always about advice and advising or teaching and whatever. But part of my lesson is not to let the ego of that come in and always offer advice when it's not invited, you know. Number one, people, you know, these are the leaders and they're very independent. So also asking for help is also part of the life lessons of things. So you can tell a lot, like the numerology, the numbers and the planets. It's so fascinating because the numbers are 1 to 9 and the planets, the grahas are 1 to 9. So this is also another thing, you know, to understand the dharma. I always look at the numbers first.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's also to trust that you are going to do what you are meant to do. It's also one thing is important with astrology is it enhances your intuition, but we shouldn't become dependent on it.
Intuition is something I also wanted to know more about from the Jyotish perspective, because with Jyotisha, we have like tools to understand more of the present moment and why we think and act the way we do. But how can this like train our intuition, and how can we become more intuitive on a daily basis, like becoming to feel what's the next right thing? Because I'm very good at telling myself in a rajas state of mind and a lot of pressure inside, and then I tell myself it's a very wise decision to do that now. And afterwards, it turns out, wow, it was a bit like rajasic.
Yeah, it's a shoot. I mean, this is why I love astrology, because it's like a little map. It's a shortcut. Mm-hmm. It's a tool. And I realize now, after living with this for like more than a decade, I can read people, like their body, the color of clothes that they wear, sometimes features of the face, because everything, and this is why I wanted to do this course, and I will do it at some point, but to teach people about the nine planets, because everything comes back down to the planets. In Sanskrit, the planet is not planet. It's not an object. It's called graha, which means to grip or to hold, and they're called the nine seasons. And so depending on our karmas, which are, you could say, electromagnetic frequencies in our different astral bodies, in our koshas, the planets kind of grip us. Mm-hmm. And depending how aware we are, we're either conscious or unconscious of those forces. So it's like tuning into different frequencies. And once you become aware of that, like you can see who's under the influence of Saturn or who's under the influence of, say, Rahu. Mm. So Rahu is a very dominant energy in our society today because of the ambition, the greed, the endless restlessness, you know, never satisfied, I can't get no satisfaction, you know, all of that. And also the very depraved aspects of society also all come under Rahu, which is the planet of illusion. Mm. And, you know, media even. And it's, again, Rahu's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad at all. Like Rahu is part of the innovation that allows us to connect. Mm. But, you know, when it gets out of hand and it's not grounded in technology, and these things are not grounded in the service of humanity, in the service of each other, then it becomes, you know, problematic. Mm. You know, so understanding the planets is really key. And the more that you develop a relationship to the planets, you don't need to read the chart per se, that it's really helpful, because you'll know that you'll be able to feel it. Mm. So like, you know, Jupiter has just shifted and it's with Venus. So there is a very sweet, there is a certain sweetness, and you might just notice it as just feeling extra sweet towards your partner when maybe things were a bit difficult and now things are easing up, or, you know, we feel the buildup of intensity towards a full moon or an eclipse, right? Mm-hmm. But it's so handy and so great that we have astrology. We have it on our phone. We've got it in our pocket. You know, I have a Libra moon, and Mars has been looking opposite my moon, and I'm almost like, wow, I'm just getting like more irritated by certain things. And I just thought, that's such a Mars flavor. Mm. You know, and yeah. I don't always look at the chart every day. I should. Sometimes I just want to be in the world, right? So that there's a lot to it. And I think sometimes, like yesterday, I was massaging a new client at the clinic that I work at. She was telling me about a panic attack that she had and about buying a new house. And then she was telling me about, you know, her mother passed a few years ago. And in my head, I was clocking this astrologically, and I'm like, I wonder if she's got the eclipses going through her fourth house, which is connected to home, landed property, mother, emotional security, and all of that. And so I mentioned that I do astrology, and she's open to it. I could read her chart just to give some insights. So maybe next time we'll do that. Mm-hmm. So this is how I find that it's, again, developing that, because astrology is a language. A lot of people think it's a belief system, but when we see it as actually a language, then we can start to notice these patterns in our life experiences. You know, like a map, we can consult that map before. And a lot of times when I do see clients, I'm actually just confirming what they were feeling. Mm.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and I able to reflect back to them what this, you know, sometimes you know, the feeling when you like someone, but you don't know, and you're just, I really like them, but, or I really like this offer, but the but is we don't know why we're having the but feeling.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's another way it can be really helpful.
Oh, I really like this idea of, you said, tuning into different frequencies with the planets. And, you know, I'm very interested in Carl Jung's psychology, and I was recently diving into the goddesses archetypes. And this is, I wonder if you, maybe you say this is a crazy interconnection, but can it be compared to working with archetypes? Because then also, you know, different archetypes come forth at times, and you think and act differently. And once you learn to separate them, and you realize who is talking now, who is coming up front and pushing the other ones back. And this might be similar to what you just explained to the planets and the frequencies that work within us.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I have a funny relationship with the word archetype, and I used to think the planets were archetypes, but then what this is also doing is creating a separation between me and the experience. Whereas in Vedic astrology, the planets are not seen as archetypes or objects, but they are living conscious deities that exist in the planet, just like we are a spirit soul living in the body. And the earth is the body, but the spirit of the earth lives inside. There is Surya as the deity of the sun, and is a consciousness that we can actually connect to. It is not an archetype or a metaphor.
I see.
So that's the big distinction. And I also know that that's, people will classify that as a belief system. It may be. But it's about connecting with them as living forces. And so, when we connect with the deities and things like that, I still feel like, I mean, so the goddesses and things, I mean, I don't know enough about the rest of the cosmology, but I know like in Buddhist cosmology, there's all the different lokas, and then you have the different asuras. So that's a different realm. Mm. But I think that also maybe exists on Earth, perhaps, or different layers of Earth. I'm not sure how that is. Mm-hmm. So they're definitely real things that you're connecting to. So yeah, that's kind of the way I see it. But definitely it's like that. It's you could see it like an archetype, but something that's very lived. Like you can tell Mars type people because they have very sharp angular features sometimes. And they may have cuts on their face or on their body. Mm-hmm. Virgo people are generally very soft. They may be very well put together. If it's on the ascendant or the moon sign, they could be very organized. They may be very in their head. You know, Leo people can be very, they like to shine and express themselves. And so there can be that sort of a theatrical, you know, if it's strong in their chart. If the sun is not strong, then they may be, you might not see that. Saturn people, they tend to have a downward gaze. They may be tall and slender. So they can be very Saturn people are quite gaunt.
So if that, in extreme. Like other types also?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So you will see that. And then in the chart, you'll probably see that maybe they have Saturn on the ascendant or something. Maybe they have Saturn type of illness, disease things like the joints or dry skin or something like that. So it's an embodied thing as much as it is, you know, archetypal. But it really depends on the person. If you want to relate to it as an archetype because that feels comfortable, then, you know, people can do that.
Do you have an example on the tip of your tongue or from a client of you that was struggling with finding the right path, finding the purpose, and how did Georgisha help there?
I think I'm not here to tell someone this is what you should do, because sometimes I'm still figuring it out with me. I mean, I know I'm meant to do something like being creative, but like that's very, very broad, right?
In your chart, it says this is your path, like being creative.
Well, the first thing I wanted to be as a kid I was two, and I wanted to be the, in year two, I wanted to be the best thing in the world. And in my brain, the best thing, like the number one thing, was the queen. That was the highest thing in the world I could think of. So I said, I want to be the queen. And the teacher was like, you can't be the queen. I was like, what do you mean I can't be the queen? And then, you know, I felt so sad. And the next thing, when I was a bit older, I had a burning desire to be an actor. That was what I wanted to do. And I still feel like I want to do stuff, but I'm on a screen. I'm doing social media. I never thought I would be doing this. Like I do it. I don't know why. It's something that's inside, right? So we follow our destiny, you know, and then that kind of evolved, because people that are teaching or sharing knowledge, or even if they're an actor, they can go into mentoring, or they go into guidance, or then there's another octave of that expression. So I think, you know, it depends on, like, I also love photography. And that's also part of my the creative thing. So, you know, that media, it's there. And then it's my free will to choose how I'm, you know, using that. So it's the same, like with clients, you know, you can see sometimes very definite paths, like very direct paths. Other times it's not so clear. You know, I'll do a reading for someone, but it takes time, because I'm not here to say you're to do this and this, because the person is reflecting their chart back to me. And oftentimes through the process of consulting and conversing, they reveal things as well, which then when they're talking and I'm looking at the chart, the pattern starts to emerge. So that's the way I prefer to work. You know, I know different astrologers have different approach, and other times it's really clear, you know. So yeah, it depends. I think there's always a deeper spiritual thing that drives people, even if they're doing a very ordinary job. And sometimes the way that people make money versus their, you know, the making money is not always what someone's dharma is. Someone's dharma is, it could be something very different. You know, what they're doing to provide sustenance may not be what their hearts desire. And that sometimes is a challenge. But understanding that means that, oh, okay, I can have my little creative thing here, and maybe I'm not going to be a big painter like Bill Gates. He's a very controversial figure now, but he's never going to be Michael Jordan.
Yeah,
that's not his dharma, but he can still play basketball. So it's like that.
So what does dharma mean as a purpose, like the aims of life, as it said in the Vedic sciences? What does that mean?
Well, it's a debated topic, I guess. It's a very broad meaning. I think simply put, like, you know, the dharma of a dog is to be a dog. To be itself. What does a dog do? It is a dog. It walks on four legs, it sniffs, and it barks. You know, we can't make it not do that. And the same as the dharma of a tree is also to produce fruit, to produce leaves. So that's what it's doing. It's there. It's also interacting with the environment the way it is. I think sometimes we confuse our dharma with our, you know, with money. So sometimes that can be, you know, because we're living in the society that we're living in. And, you know, I think some people's path is very strongly around nurturing. So you'll see things around nurturing. So they really, you know, some women, they want to have a beautiful family. That's so beautiful. Other people, that's part of it, but then it's also about the discipline of their creative expression. And so the children may come through that, but they're still not satisfied with just that. Other people's dharma is to be a teacher in some way, and to do something in a large way. Other people are just happy doing it in a small way.
And what is your experience? Are there many people struggling with finding their dharma or to be fulfilled with the activity they have in life?
I think sometimes what we struggle with is I think most people are already doing. Most people already are doing that. They already know, but they don't trust themselves. Mm. I think that's what it is.
Yeah. And so you help with your work to give the trust back. So you reflect back and then they maybe feel like, oh, this is what I was feeling anyway. Yes.
Because nothing is in the chart that is not already in that person's life.
And can dharma, is this something that is like a constant throughout life, or can it also change?
Yeah, I think it changes. It depends on the horoscope. It depends on the soul's agenda and the different arrangement of the chart. But I think maybe the dharma doesn't always change per se. The way that we express it changes.
I don't understand.
It's like an evolution. Maybe somebody is always involved in higher education, but they go from being a student to being like a class guide to pursuing higher education to then being a professor, for example. It kind of changes, but say it's always within educational field and they're sharing or the expansion of knowledge, for example, or even just a mechanic, the progression of a mechanic that owns his own business. Right, he first started out as maybe his dad's in his dad's garage.
Yeah.
And so you'll see that trajectory, and you see it in children. You know, if you look at their interests, I think it's just like what people are naturally gravitating towards. And yes, we can bring in the four aims of life, like dharma, calm, art and moksha. Some people have a very, their houses of relationship are highly activated. And so they are going through life through understanding relationships with other people. Like I have a friend who has four planets in the seventh house. And of course, that means multiple relationships, many kinds of connections, experimenting with different styles of partnerships. Will that lead to enlightenment? I don't know. Will it lead to further confusion? Possibly. Is that her dharma? For now, will it lead to an awakening? Depends.
If this is the karmic field we bring with us, or the possibilities that are there for us, then maybe it's also like a way to evolve and to learn. I'm working with a lot of solopreneur women, and for me, business is also something that's really, sometimes putting us on the edge and giving us a mirror, what is not working or where we have our difficulties. Now I'm lacking words. How do you see that? Can business or being self-employed be a way of growing and expanding and learning?
Definitely. It's always tricky, because it's the same with massage and body work. I think these are spiritual things. And I think in the most ideal society, yes, you would get exchange for it. But the way that we have to structure business in today's society, I think it goes against nature personally. So sometimes it is a bit of a challenge. At the same time, where I come to it, is that everything is energy. And we have to work with the reality that we are living in, even if I don't agree with it, because it's still part of nature. And yeah, so I think that's the way I see it. And I understand that in today's world is structured in a certain way. I can either completely fight that and then struggle, or I can learn to harmonize with it in a way. And we're offering services. And even in the, you know, in the temples and such, and in the ancient older times, there was always an offering that was given.
You were talking about the energies. When we business, we just have to live with what is there and with the energies that are there. Were you talking about the outside energies more than the inside ones, or both end?
Well, I think both. I think we have to be practical, and we're living in the physical world, so we have to work with the physical world, and we all need to eat. And so, you know, artha is also one of those motivations in life. Artha is about meaningful work, but meaningful work so that we can provide a foundation so that we can do our spiritual work. So that's the kind of the way I see it. And I think it, just to simplify it like that, I think it helps, because, you know, we're not here to make money for the sake of money. We're just generating enough resources so that we can have a comfortable life. And, you know, because spirituality doesn't evolve from poverty. It doesn't evolve when we are in survival mode. And, you know, one could go down a rabbit hole as to, you know, why there are these great imbalances, you know. Yes. Well, I think that I'm really a big fan of Taoist philosophy as well, and Taoism. And one of my favorite quotes is, before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. Mm-hmm. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. And I really... Yeah. And I really think spiritual life is incredibly simple. It's very, very simple. And of course, in our society, you know, we have everything, all the crystals and all of the right yoga pan, everything, all of these things. And it gets associated with spirituality. But spirituality is so simple that you don't even notice it. It's the most ordinary thing. So the most ordinary, the most simple, then I think you're closer to God, to spirit. So I think that is, you know, it's important. Like, as much as I love astrology, and I, you know, but where it takes me as well is ultimately, how can we learn to find access that space of deep satisfaction and contentment with what is, rather than fighting constantly with ourselves and the reality that is around us, other people, the demons in our mind, the ghosts of our past. Like, you know, the suffering is coming because we're constantly resisting what is happening. So spirituality, really, you know, and spiritual path is about, and all, I think a lot of spiritual practices are ultimately all about coming back to that, coming back to the mind and calming the mind. And that's why in astrology, we focus a lot on the moon sign, because your moon reflects or represents your perception. And perception is shaped by your five senses. So that's their windows to the world. And so if our senses are not sharp and our mind is not clear, then our perception of reality is distorted. That's why during eclipses, they're very good for spiritual times, but not for material things.
Yeah.
And so we live in this state of constant distortion. My understanding of spiritual things is, it's you know, and taking care of that and understanding that, so that we're not so swayed by our senses and all of the attachments to the material world, and we don't get sort of deluded by it.
Yeah.
But we still have to be in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's tricky. So how do you work with your clients? How does that usually look like, getting a Jyotish reading, and what happens next?
Well, I feel like it's been evolving a lot because I've been developing also as a person alongside, and it's a very delicate work as well, because it borders on counseling. It's you're accessing someone's psyche in a way. So I like to keep my sessions as like a conversation in a way. The one-to-ones, mostly people come because they have some question. They're like, I want to know what's going on. When my last person that I saw just before we met, she just wanted me to share what I see. And then we talk from there. And I think that's really my favorite way. It's like I will start with, you know, like at the moment, I get a lot of Leo ascendant people, and I'm having a lot of Pisces moon and Aries moon people coming. Why? Because the eclipses and Saturn are troubling them. Someone's not going to come to an astrologer if their life is perfect, right? They're coming because there's some problem. Mm-hmm. So I always can tell what is the problem. It's obvious to me because it's either Saturn, Rahu, Ketu, and sometimes Mars. They're the troublemakers. You know, some years ago, it was all the Scorpios, then it was all the Sagittarians, then it was, you know, all the Aquarians. And because Saturn takes 2.5 years ago. Next year, all the Aries are coming and the Capricorn and the Cancerians, because the eclipses are going to shift into Cancer, Capricorn.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all about how we're dealing with our karma. And then, you know, usually it's also the changing of planetary periods. So in astrology, we have a dasha, which is a timing system.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be going through a difficult dasha. And then maybe your chart is also got some juicy karma there. Like it's not easy, you know. And then you have the dasha. And then maybe you also have a difficult transit. So you have a lot of things happening at once. And yeah, absolutely. It can be very difficult sometimes for people.
Mm.
It's not my job as astrologer to make them feel bad. But Camille always says you've got to strengthen your strength. People, we already know what is difficult about us.
Yeah.
We forget to look at the positive things. It's very difficult. So when you have a stranger that you met on the internet going right into I think it can be so helpful. I've had some people say they got more out of a session than they did with their psychotherapist, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that I don't think that it should replace therapy at all.
Yeah.
But I think used in conjunction for people that are doing their inner work, I think it can be very therapeutic in that way. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I consider, like, I would love to do something like psychotherapy just to be able to have that, you know, knowledge there as well, and the structure, you know, to go even deeper. Mm-hmm. So yeah, my one-to-one sessions, usually it's because people are in a state of change or crisis or confusion, and they need that clarity and reassurance. So that's what I offer. And then I have my mentoring sessions, which I'm going to start. Mm-hmm. And that's for people who want to have more direct understanding of their chart. Maybe you have already some knowledge. Yeah.
So the readings can be a one-time thing, and where you get like light on what's happening at the moment and how to move forward best. And the mentoring is something that's like meeting more often and gaining a deeper understanding of oneself.
Yes. And also the one-to-one session, sometimes like my teacher used to do a block of three, because in fact, there's only so much you can cover in an hour before your brain gets fried, because it's a lot of information. And as I said at the beginning, I sometimes just overgive, or it's something that's very natural for me, but for people who've never had it, a much less is probably enough for them to digest. And so sometimes some people book several sessions. because they want to get a deep dive into, you know, it's not just the birth chart, but we look at the other Vaga charts, or, you know, some people just also want to book for the solar return. They just want to know for the year ahead. So there's that. Other people have, you know, a lot of relationship stuff that they want to work out as well. So there can be that, either compatibility. That's relationship astrology, one of my favorite. Why this person's triggering you, you know, how you're like your mom, the way that you're like your dad, like, you know, you can see all of that. It's fascinating. Or children, like I did one for the family. It was about 90 minutes, and that was really nice because they were like, how can we be better parents? And I'm like, oh, look, you guys are already amazing parents. Nice. Like, this is what this kid might struggle with. And even though you know that they love them, there may be a cooler relationship between you and your son for whatever reason. And so then that parent can think, oh, yeah, I just don't naturally cuddle that person or that kid. But you can see there's like Saturn's coming in between and might be creating a block. And so maybe the parent will just put extra effort into expressing love. Not that they don't, but just pay more attention to that, you know, because sometimes we don't know that about children or even our spouse. Say our spouse has Moon and Saturn together. That's a difficult combination, you know, because Saturn can really cause depression and heaviness because maybe early on, maybe they felt a lot of rejection from their mother, or they felt the coldness from the mother. And so, you know, because Moon is the mother. And so then maybe the person emotionally doesn't know how to ask for things. And so, and say maybe if it's a man, you know, men also naturally are a little bit more. So maybe he has a Moon and Saturn. So how can we approach that? What if it's in Scorpio, the worst sign for the Moon to be in? It's not unmanageable, but we can then understand what this person is dealing with and the struggle that they have, not to fix it, but to soften, to work with that. If we love that person, then we can understand them more, and it helps us love that person better, you know?
Yeah. It gets very practical working with one's chart.
Yeah, I have a very practical approach. I think, you know, I love the spiritual stuff. It has to be grounded. It has to be embodied. Like I love it. I love the abstract, but like, okay, I've got to cook my dinner and wash my dishes as well. Like, you know.
I want to mention a Substack where people can, you know, connect with you and get your knowledge if you want to say something about it.
Yes, thank you. It's relatively recent. I love to write. I've been writing blog for a long time. The Substack now, I am going to use it as also an educational platform. So I'm writing my, you know, monthly signs, and this is evolving, but I'm also going to put up slowly a library, and then you get some benefits as a subscriber, but you get to, have this, access to some of the learning. And then there's some, extra benefits. Like I'm going to be doing a masterclasses. So then subscribers get that for free. And then there's a live chat. I put a lot of love and effort. I love to share the insight, the knowledge, and I think it's just really helpful. Yeah. So yes, you can find me there and also on my Instagram. And I'll post lots of pictures of my dog. he's my the best assistant.
Yeah.
And that puts reels and videos and things there. So.
And you do run a podcast, and I'm happy to link to put the links in the show notes of all of it. And I can highly recommend connecting with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ursula.
So is there anything you want to mention that I didn't ask?
Well, you know, with these topics, we can go forever with that, really.
Yeah.
I really love that you come from a Vedic background, and I'm actually curious about you. And but maybe I have to interview you on my podcast.
I would be happy to, very much.
Yes.
So thank you so much for your time today and for connecting and sharing your wisdom and your insights with the listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Asila. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Danke, dass du bis zum Schluss dran geblieben bist. Wenn dich das Thema Urnatur interessiert und wie sie deine Art zu arbeiten prägt, dann hol dir den Selbsttest und E-Book zum Vertiefen. Er zeigt dir, welche Doshas dich prägen und wo dein aktueller Zustand gerade von deiner Urnatur abweicht, also wo du gegen deine Natur arbeitest. Dabei ist auch das E-Book Die Doshas im Business verstehen und das hilft dir, das Ganze zu vertiefen. Hol dir den Test samt E-Book kostenfrei auf feuerherd.at/selbsttest. Bis zur nächsten Folge. Ich freue mich, wenn du wieder dabei bist.